fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, but by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each to his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain. This one cuts to the heart for me. We preach the gospel. We preach that in the garden, man sinned and fell from grace from God. And then the Old Testament gives the history. But there's a crimson thread running through the Old Testament all the way to the cross. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin just as it was prophesied. Lived a sinless life, began his ministry, but then was tried, crucified, died, and was buried. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. So our preaching is not in vain. But if Christ was not raised from the dead, then our personal faith in God is futile. What good is it? In fact, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then we would challenge the validity of the Bible. Our confession of Christ and the gospel then would be false. Our promise of eternal life is fraudulent. In fact, we are all still in our sins. It is hopeless. Our eternity would be perishing in hell if Christ was not raised from the dead. And our prospect for this life alone is pure fantasy. Be born, live, and die, and then perish for eternity. But let's look at the purpose of the resurrection. Number one, it totally activates the gospel. Jesus paid the price that we could not pay on that cross. So his resurrection totally activates the gospel. And it authenticates our faith. Because he was raised from the dead, our faith is solid. It arranges our justification. Romans 4:25, somewhere here in my notes, I had it. I want to read it to you so you don't have to go there. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. Because Jesus lives, God accepted his death as payment for us for all the sins of those who put their faith in him. Therefore, he doesn't see us as sinners, but he sees us as saints through the blood of Jesus Christ. It anticipates our future. Jesus is our guarantee. Because he lives, we shall also live. Because he lives, there will be this grand reunion someday, and we will see him face to face. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17, it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive and who are left until his coming, until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive are left, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Thank God. He lives. And I praise the Lord for Matthew 28:6, that says, He is not here. He is risen as He said. Come and see the place where He lay. He is not here. Because He lives, we live. Because He lives, we can have everlasting life. And because He lives, life itself is worth living. Just a few weeks ago, we sang that song, Because He Lives. Because He lives, I want to live. And I thank God for the resurrection. We know and believe He is risen and that He lives. They say if you're born twice, you will only die once. Physical birth, spiritual birth. Born twice, die once. But born once, you will die twice. Physical death and spiritual death. Because Jesus rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us, we have the most blessed hope, the most blessed assurance. And it fills our heart with gratitude and thankfulness that He paid that price. And because of that gratitude, we celebrate communion. Here at Lolo Church, we celebrate an open communion. You don't have to be a member of our church, but we request that you be a believer in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You be a believer that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins in order to celebrate this communion with us. So servers, if you'd please come, and we will celebrate communion together. What we do at Lolo Church is, if you will take the bread and hold it, we will give an explanation and we will say a prayer, and then we will take communion to take the bread together. And then if you will also, when the cup is passed, if you will hold that cup and we'll take it together. Let me read to you Matthew 26, 26 through 28. On the night before He was crucified, Jesus was gathered with His disciples. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, He broke it and He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body." And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." Gary, if you would come and pray for the bread.
Heavenly Father, it is hard for us to realize the brokenness that was inflicted upon You as the price and the judgment and the punishment for our sins. We cannot visualize what You must have suffered But we know and we believe that you suffered the ultimate suffering to acquire the ultimate victory. And today, Lord, we ask you to bless this communion. And as we partake of the bread, that in our hearts we would start to understand how much our sin cost you and how much love you had for us that you willingly paid that price. We thank you for all you have done. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of glory. We thank you for the love you had that allowed us to be here today to celebrate this communion. We ask that you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is..." do this in remembrance of me. I'll pray for the cup. Oh, dear Jesus, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that washes us white as snow. Were it not for your love for us and your faithfulness to complete the plan to redeem us, to save us, to be your children, to be your royal priesthood, we would be dead in our sins. So thank you for the blood. As we remember this tremendous sacrifice you paid, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, when God had to turn his back, when the sins of the world were upon you, I remember the agony that that must have caused. So as we take this cup, Lord, we ask you to bless it. Bless it to our heart, mind, and spirit, that we never take for granted what you have done for us, and that we are always grateful for your love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, sir. Let's pray. As I listen to that song that Glenda shared with us, I think about how wonderful, how mighty, how precious is the name of Jesus. And how much love that he poured out on us. I think and I am thankful for the resurrection. Just as he said he would, he did. And it excites me to think about forever and where I'm going to spend that time. And oh, I pray, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you will accept him. Accept and believe. Repent. Turn from the direction that you're going. And follow him. Follow him to the most glorious eternity that we can possibly imagine. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to share a benediction with you today that was given to Joy and I in Billings, Montana, by a pastor. And it has always given me great encouragement. But as you go from this place today, I pray the Lord will go ahead of you, leading you and guiding you into his great plan. I pray the Lord will go beside you, encouraging and lifting you up, especially on those days that everything seems to be dark and dreary. And I pray the Lord will go behind you, putting a hedge of protection around you, keeping you from the evil one. And I pray the Lord will go above you, guiding your every step, your every word, that you would glorify him. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Thank you. You are excused.